Wow, thank you for those words, Father. How wonderful is it that we can speak to the Creator of the universe and His Son, who's seated at the right hand, and them knowing all of our misfortunes, all of our weaknesses, all of the things we're not doing right, and they speak to us words of edification, exhortation, and comfort. Like, man, thank you, Father. Go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And there's a neat story that I wanted to share. And it started with these infants, toddlers, I don't know what you'd call them, very little, opening presents on Christmas and seeing presents, so excited. And then they would play, open up the present, and they would play with the box instead of the gift inside. And mom and dad, and so then there was, I got to hear another story about I think it was a friend of my sister's, that she learned that with her children, she just wrapped boxes. Because they didn't care what was inside. They just like to open things, and they like the boxes. And then you'll see that sometimes the kids will play with the boxes more than the gift. It's kind of a, I don't know, like a modern-day parable. Kids love boxes, right? And so it's cute for children and infants. But if you gave an adult something and they played with the box more than a gift, how would that be?
Very disappointing.
Disrespectful. Most Christians are the children playing with the box. No gift. Forget the gift. They want the box. Well, how, why would I say something like that? Have you ever heard of the Ark of the Covenant? It's a movie. Raiders of the Lost Ark. Right? Mm-hmm. Go Google it. Ark of the Covenant, where is it? You know what you'll find? Videos and movies everywhere. Where is this box? Where's the Ark of the Covenant? Because this is what Joshua carried across the Jordan, and this is the day that danced before this box. And all these things about this box, what makes the box important?
What's inside of it?
And what's inside it?
Yahweh.
His word. The 10 words. What? What made the box important was the contents inside it. And what are the 10 words that are inside it? It's an introduction to the Creator of the universe. Well, the outside of the box is really shiny. Look at these. You got, and we talk about you dwelling between it, but what makes it, and the whole temple and everything was built around Yahweh's word. Most Christians today, they don't even want to know what He says. You go, do you know what the author of your book is? His name? No, they don't know His name. They're going to say the Lord. That's not His name. It's not what the box says. The box says Yahweh Elohim. Never even heard of His name. But they would love to see the box. And a guy that I mentor who's an infant in Christ, we're going to read about babes in Christ, and the Apostle Paul was no different than us. I want to help you guys. You guys are babies. The point is not to put people down, but it's to help us with patience. We just went to a concert and they're singing, and it wasn't malicious. We got down hearing wrong doctrine. Did you think you're, would it bless you if somebody sang songs about you that weren't true?
Nope.
Oh, the great Wendy, that time Wendy with her black skin did cook chitlins for everybody in the South. And you're like, that's not even me. Here's Christians singing songs and their hearts are right, and my father got down and he goes, they're children. And that's most children. And you go, what did the 10 words say? Well, they don't even know what's in the box. But they love that box. And if they actually found the box, everybody would come around the box. And they probably, you know what they would do with the box? They would worship it. Just the way Moses, bronze serpent. Oh, we have an image. Look, there's something you can look at. Oh, bronze image. What happened to the bronze image? Yahweh had to crush it. Because you're worshiping it. And my dad said that once, because we went to a Bible study and they're talking about they found the Ark of the Covenant. They watched this whole movie. My dad went, we're never going to find the Ark of the Covenant. Man wants to worship an image. Yahweh probably destroyed it. Like the bronze serpent. What's important is not the box, it was the contents inside of it. You can ask somebody, say, are you a babe in Christ? And you use the Ark of the Covenant as a thing. What did it even say? Yahweh alone. And all of a sudden, then they get to say, is your commitment your Christian commitment, and this is an introduction to people. The Apostle Paul, we're getting ready to read a hymn giving an introduction to grown men. You're a baby. Breastfed. It's a challenge. Are you going to grow up? What's inside the box? Most Christians, including myself, the purpose of Christian going to church is not necessarily to get right with the Creator and the Author. It's to blend in. I need help. And are they blessed? Yes. Is Yahweh slow to anger? Yes. Does he help them? Absolutely. But he's not going to be well pleased with these infants. They've never. I wanted to talk to somebody. I said, when was the last time you read the whole book? And I didn't mean that. And recently I got to meet somebody and I thought I was going on a date. It wasn't. But somebody said they were a devout Christian, wanted to meet me. And I said, now, you know, what's your favorite books? Well, I like Proverbs. Okay, what else? And I wasn't sure. But you've never read the book. And so I said, I'm different. She goes, what do you mean it was different? I go, I try to read two to ten chapters a day. It's usually two. On Sunday, at least ten. She went, holy moly. But I'm going off on tangent. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2. And this is to tell somebody, if the shoe fits, wear it. If it doesn't apply to you, then it shouldn't offend you. But Christians should be able to say, what made the Ark of the Covenant important? It was the book of the words. And people don't even... What was the book of the words? Hebrew? People don't even want to know what it said. We'll just, through the grapevine, just kind of get to the point. And I was just listening earlier, the New Living Translation of the Message, thus saith... They'll do that, absolutely. They won't waver on thus saith, but they won't say Yahweh, they'll say the Lord. So they'll be exact with thus saith, but what do they want to hear? The Lord. Okay, thus saith the Lord. So why? Because, and that's most people. They go, you don't even know what the word said. Yahweh, ambiguity is beautiful in certain areas. Songs can be great because you don't know who they're really singing about, but what that song means to me, that's me and my son the first time. I remember I saw, there's a song, Baby Baby, back in the 90s. I forgot what her name is. She's like the first Christian crossover. And when I went to go see her, she said it was about her being pregnant. And I went, oh, that's terrible. Oh, I always thought this is a love story. There's ambiguity in it. And music can be good at that. And you can say, well, you can look at stars and here's a story, but what does it mean to you? That's neat. Unless you're coming to important subjects like law, medicine, and what's the most important subject? Yeah. Yahweh, the Author. And we're all going to kneel before His Son. And you got to go, okay. Somebody read chapter 3, verse 1 and 2.
I therefore, brethren, have not been able to speak unto you as unto men of the Spirit, but as unto men of the flesh, as unto babes in Christ. With milk have I fed you, not with meat. For not yet have you been able, nay, not yet, even now are ye able, for ye are yet fleshly. Keep going.
Yeah, for whereas there are among you jealousy and strife, and it's kind of taken out of context, but you can also read Ephesians 4:14 about children, Galatians 4:1, infants, Hebrews 5:13 about babes. And if the shoe fits, wear it. And so, but you can tell somebody, you are like a child playing with the box and not the gift inside. What's the gift inside? I've been doing the last couple of days is experimenting with a piece of paper called a trust document and learning a little bit more about a trust document. And so this is not a course, and I'm not an expert in this, so this is just for illustrative purposes. So give me some leeway. What is a trust document? It is a piece of paper that you're going to set up that gives authority, and it's as if it's an individual. What does the trust say? And you can do this for if your son was a handicapped and I die, who's going to take care of this handicapped son? Well, I got money at Intrust Bank. I got $800,000. And the document says it will pay for his education. And here's how much income he can have. And the bank looks at the trust document and says, here's what we can and cannot do. It's a legal a document. Yahweh's 10 words is like a trust document. You want access to the desires of all your heart? It's in my word. And even the 10 words, people would worship the 10 words. The 10 words are just an introduction to the owner of the trust, or the one who wrote it, that gives you access. Do you want a life? Do you need money? Do you need healing? Are you lonely? Are you suicidal? Yeah, he's the perfect physician. He can fix all those things. And he gives you access to seek ye first my rule. The word kingdom is the word rule. And I'll give you all these things. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow shall worry for itself. Sufficient is the evil thereof. Focus on me. And there's a story about a I got to read a lot of different things about trusts. And one of them was, here's a grandfather, very wealthy grandfather. He has money set up. He's still alive. And his grandchildren have access to all kinds of different things. So I'm getting to look at a $1 million trust right now and getting to read. Somebody set all this stuff up. My dad, even when he looked at it, he went, I've never seen one indexed like this. That's beautiful. Why? Because it tells a story about somebody who made it. They put a lot of effort into this. And that trust was set up because his daughters had been divorced. And if you've had children go through the divorce, I feel sorry for you. But this guy was like, nobody's going to divorce you and get my money. The money that I'm doing, now this guy's dead, but here's the rules. Here's his two daughters, and the money's not going to anybody else, it's going to the grandchildren. So what does that do? What it does is it says, don't try to steal it, you can't. And even the owner of it, she's never really read it, and she has no idea, she's stressed out looking at it. But back to the story, one of them, his grandfather, he would buy, through the trust, if a child accessed the trust, he would buy him a new car. And so, and there's a story about this lady, a girl contacting her wealthy grandfather. How did she know? Well, look where he lives. I'm the only girl at a school that didn't have a car. You have friends without cars. Somebody should give me one. Why don't you have a car? Well, nobody's given me one yet, right? Maybe. And so she wrote a letter to her grandfather. Would you buy me a car? Do you know what the trust said? You guys can have a new car every year. But the document said, you have to show up to the bank, who have already paid and set it up, and you have to have a straight A's. You also, you cannot have had any DUIs or speeding tickets. And your straight A's, it has to be notarized by one of the teachers. Then you show that, you get a new car, here's your allowance.
Wow.
What did the girl do? She never read the stupid document. Look at this. All these words. Oh, my goodness. She's looking through this. She never looked through it. Guess what? She never got it. Oh, it's because he's withholding from me. No, he wasn't. But if you're not, if you're going to collegiate and you're with all these things, you could have it. But if you're not going to work at it, you don't deserve it. You're not going to get it. But she did have a cousin that they didn't even know that was a part of the trust. But the cousin, somebody encouraged her to go. And guess what the people at the bank said? Oh, you can get a car. Really? What do I got to do? Straight A's, no speeding tickets. If you ever get a DUI, everything's cut off. Not only that, the cousin who went and looked this thing up couldn't believe it. Then she went to the bank and they looked at these things. How do I get this? It took a lot of work. Guess who was blessed when that girl got the car? The owner, the father, the grandfather. She actually read the document. Can you believe that? My other granddaughters never even read the stupid thing. Well, good. I don't want them to have the money. Yahweh's word is a trust that gives us access to all kinds of things. You got to learn Hebrew or Greek? No. The same trust document would pay for college and give you income. And then here was the things with college and income. You can't marry an unbeliever. And in this one, he could never have been divorced. And here's all these different things, and you got to prove it. And then it gave all these benefits. But as you get to hear these stories like this, what does it paint a picture of? A neat guy or a woman somewhere behind us set this up. They put a lot of thought into this. Isn't that neat? Yeah. Wow. Yahweh's word is a document very like that. And he's watching to see, are you accessing it? Are you going to it? No, I'll just take the box. You have the box. Good. And that's most believers. Not that we're supposed to put them down, but we should, don't be distracted by them. You should be seeking out what's in this document. What can I have? Well, I'm getting so worn out. Man, you're not, what are the desires of your heart? And power, more importantly to any word, the 10 words or getting to see Moses' fingerprints or the Shah, like the Catholics say, they want to see something. The most important, the most powerful, wonderful thing there is that the Creator of the universe wants to have a relationship with you. And he's going, I'm right here. And there's a hole in your heart. You'll never be satisfied. You'll never be satisfied. We're just talking about people dying premature deaths. Doing everything what everybody... I used to say I did what everybody told me to say, do. And I was empty because I was very, very popular. And guess what it got me? It's horrible. But it wasn't what everybody was telling me. Who was really telling me that this is all you need? My old man. Once you get money, once you get fame, once you do these things... Here are the wealthiest people that we know of. Some of them that got the worst lives ever. Why? Because there's a seat, the Creator of the universe, a Y-shaped hole in all of us, and He wants to live with you. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 6. 2 Samuel chapter 6. And so I used to read the Word probably close to every day. People talk about how many times they read through the Bible, and I felt convicted when I found out John Adams read through it his first time when he was 4. It made me uncomfortable. But what's the point? I'm doing a lot of studying, and nobody told me to do it. But then I was like, maybe actually I got to get this monkey off my back. And what I did not know is that the author of the book was waiting for me. He was waiting to show me so many things I had never seen. By just being disciplined. And by reading this, reading the Ark of the Covenant, and here's chapter 6, verse 11. Let's see. Right before this, David, who was supposed to read the word?
Kings.
Everybody. The kings were supposed to write it. So everybody was commanded. This is the word. Here's Joshua or Deuteronomy 28. You put these words, here's exactly what you're supposed to do. And the king's probably the highest, most authority, but all of them were supposed to know the blessings and the cursings. You're supposed to know, you're supposed to teach it to your children. You're supposed to speak it when you get up, when you sit down, you put it on your walls, all the rest of these things. Here's David and Uzziah, and he's dancing in front of the box. But at the same time, he's dishonoring with good intentions. The contents, the writer of the trust inside of it, because you're not supposed to be doing what they're doing. Uzziah dies, very unusual. We don't know necessarily what happens. He touches the box, it's going to fall off. You're not supposed to touch it. There's no reverence for the word. Right now, how many people have reverence for Yahweh's word? How many ministers? Well, there's many translations. There's many different things. They go, you sound just like the serpent in Genesis 3:15. Well, God really knows. They're going to go, you're going to be judged for that. And if you're not warning your teachers, you don't care about them. How do you say you have the love of them? You should say there's not many different things. Yahweh is, but the point of it was in verse 11, David sees Uzziah die. What are we coming off of? The ark had been with the Philistines, I believe, 20 years. Did they have reverence for Yahweh?
No.
No. They did not have reverence for Yahweh. And guess what happened to them? They suffered the consequences. They got hemorrhoids. They got rats. And they're passing the word around back and forth. There's the contents of it. And even David, their good intentions, they don't know what it says. David didn't have anybody before him to teach him these things necessarily. He had Samuel, but David made this mistake too. And so what happens is Uzziah dies. Oh no, the plagues are back. We're going to die just like the Philistines. We can't bring this thing into Hebron. We can't bring this thing into Jerusalem. Look what it did to the Philistines. It doesn't say that, but that's what happened to the Philistines. And now what do? They stop everything. And what do? Paper, rock, scissors. Somebody's got to take care of. It wasn't the box that was the most important. It was what was inside the box. And in verse 11, if somebody read that for me.
And the ark of the Yahweh abode in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months, and Yahweh blessed Obed-Edom and all his household.
In verse 12.
And it was told King David, saying, Yahweh has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and all that he hath because of the ark of Elohim.
And when David sees that, he realizes it was a 3 months. And so David reconciles, could I have been that wrong? How could I have been that wrong? That only the Levites are supposed to carry it on poles. You don't put it on a car. How could I have been that wrong? I knew Samuel. Nobody ever taught us this. But what did they do? Am I that child that doesn't care about what's in the box, playing with the box? And it appears that David was. But what does he do? Does a 180. And he finds out that Yahweh is not cursing Obed-Edom, but they're all blessed. We should confess each day the blessings of Obed-Edom, because we have his word. People should look at us and go, what is so different? And I don't know where I got this picture, but at one point I remember reading this, and I thought somewhere in the scriptures it said that his whole yard became a Garden of Eden or something, because everybody could see it. What was it? Oh, he made a lot of money? I don't know, but it was so obvious. And that's with Yahweh's word with our own life. That we should be able to say, people should look at you and go, holy moly, why is your grass green in December? Why do you radiate like that? Why do these things happen? It's because of Yahweh's word. Here it is. And it's not because of the word, because you can worship. Yahweh looks upon the heart. It's because I go to those 10 words on those tablets and I say, I'm going to do this one for you today. How should I do that? He goes, you can imagine what happened. Because Yahweh's not, he's not mocked. He sees people's hearts. I bet you Obed-Edom and his household goes, we got to get on our knees now. Whatever happened was a revival. Because people just died. You can imagine them going, oh Yahweh. And Yahweh seeing their heart going, because he's not mocked. You can also look at 1 Chronicles chapter 13, verse 14 is another example of that. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 8 and 9. Because it does say that there were more than just the 10 words. People say the 10 commandments. No, it's the 10 words is what it's called. And it says Yahweh. It does not, there is a word for Lord. It's Adonai.
It's what? 8.
It doesn't say Adonai. It says Yahweh. And the author of that document is listening to us right now and listening to you. And maybe Yahweh is not exactly how you say it, but it's close. He's looking at your heart. Are you even trying to reconcile your life to get in right standing with him? And he'll work with you if you do it. 8 verse 9, if somebody would read that for me.
There was nothing in the ark save the two tables of stone which Moses deposited therein at Horeb. The tables of the covenant was Yahweh solemnized with the sons of Israel when they came forth out of the land of Egypt.
Yeah. And so at some point there used to be manna in there. Aaron's rod was in there also. They're gone by now. But at this point, what was in it? It was his word. It was Yahweh's word. And if you had any kind of heart to see the Ark of the Covenant, what we got to do is say, that's good. Because some people could care less. But if you have a heart for the Ark of the Covenant, great. But now replace it with his word. Because it's a living covenant that we get to access. Not that the purpose of our life isn't to receive things, but he understands it's a hard life. And you're going to burn out. You're going to get lonely. I'm so lonely. I'm going to quit. You're going to get, we're talking about last night, about you being harassed by looking at your past or my emptiness today. He goes, change your thinking. Be like King David and say, what will be given to the man who removes his uncircumcised Philistine? What happened? Get to marry the king's daughter, and your dad will have to pay taxes. Really, and now it was just recently. I thought David volunteered. He didn't at the beginning. His brother goes, how dare you? You shouldn't ask for rewards, David. You should just do it because you want to. Really? Because I don't see any volunteers here, Eliab. And I didn't say I was volunteering. He goes, what shall be given? So David turns to another and they go, you get to marry the king's daughter. Okay? Dad won't pay taxes. He's like, is that right? How come nobody's talking about that? When they hear about that, they bring him before King Saul. And King Saul goes, who are you? And then David kind of volunteers. But they weren't talking about the rewards. Yahweh will give you rewards and he'll encourage you if you pursue and you seek him out like a buried treasure. I guess we already read that. Inside the box is power. For money, assets, health, prosperity, healing, all these things are fringe benefits to what? the purpose of your existence, to orbit the creator of the universe. And we look at this, and I was witnessing to a woman in Australia, and she, with good purpose, was going, if Eve wouldn't have taken that stupid fruit, we wouldn't have to do all this, because there's a lot of bad things happening in Australia. And then she said, why in the world did she take that fruit? And I said, it was easy for me to be on the sideline, because she didn't believe the word. And she was like, what do you mean? I go, do you prophesy? It says, cometh to prophesy. And she kind of shrank back, and I go, if you're not going to do the word, you shouldn't mock Eve. It says in Yahweh's name 6,800 times. Do you say Yahweh's name? No? Okay, well then you're not doing the word either. So you would have done probably even worse than Eve. But there's power for all these things. But more important, the purpose of your existence, to fulfill your calling. David had many brothers. How many do we get to read about?
One.
Eliab, that's it. And we can see their names. He had seven brothers, and then later on, it's quoted, he was the seventh, so one of them must have died. Do you get to read about their life? It's a boring life. You get an opportunity to live a remarkable life. You will not regret it. And when David, at the resurrection, we're reading his book, and he's seeing a movie on the new earth. Here's a movie of King David. Do you think he's going to regret any of his obedience? He's like, man, you guys have any idea how many times I almost quit? You guys have any idea? We'll get to hear the other side of David's life going, you guys have, I was this close to quitting so many times because I was just lonely. I didn't want to be a king. I didn't want to fight. I wanted to be a shepherd singing songs to Yahweh, these highs and these lows, but I stayed faithful no matter what the highs and the lows, and somehow all of this stuff worked out. And what it meant he allowed Yahweh to write his life, Gideon the same way, the Apostle Paul, golly, you can live a remarkable life, or you could go medium, or you could say, here's my heart, right tomorrow, and do it. For the purpose of my life is to give you a canvas, a book, but I must surrender it to you. And me, not wanting to be a hypocrite, Yahweh called me out recently. He says, would you trust me to pick your wife? I'm like, no! I'm pretty specific. Because that's my exceedingly great reward for being disciplined. Yahweh's going to give me a helpmate that's going to meet all these needs. Because if I don't have to compromise, and this is coming from Yahweh, but for some reason my own unbelief is, Aaron, what do you think? I have a pretty good idea who he's going to pick. And he's going to say, half of my needs aren't needs. But he called me out. He goes, come on, Aaron. Don't you think that I could pick something better than you? After all, I wrote some pretty good things. Some really successful stories in here. Or there's also like Solomon, for the love of foreign women. It was his demise. What are you going to do? What's the purpose of your life? And when is Christ coming back? And when is your book over? Pursuing the gift that's inside. Turn to Psalms 138. You can read the Psalms. It's just a need about Yahweh's Hesed, His Head, His Hesed. Hesed is an obligatory covenant. If you do this, I have to do that. And Yahweh, somehow, above our own comprehension, we can't wrap our mind around it, neither could Einstein's dog understand the theory of relativity, or whatever you want to call it. But Yahweh somehow obligates himself to us through his word. And if you do these things, I have to come through. In other translations, they're not even going to show you the word hesed. Rotherham, he puts it loving kindness, it keeps it consistent, so you know there's a treasure underneath it. And the word is hesed, he has to do this. And David would say, great is your hesed. You mean that if I was obedient, and now here I'm in the cave of Adullam, do you have to meet these needs? I don't have to worry about whether you're going to do it or not. You have to. I don't have to worry about living in my house if I paid the mortgage. I don't have to beg. So many believers are begging and begging and begging. Well, if you're not doing the word, you better be begging. Maybe you can over. But if you're doing the word, you don't have to beg. And then you can say, what kind of creator obligates himself to a son of man? Who am I that you would give authority to me to move mountains, to split rivers? The moon, stars, and sun, and there's messengers, and there's chariots of fire. Did you give authority to me? And if I obey, you would have to do these things. And you get to read through Psalms 36, Yahweh has said, how many times did he say it here? Almost every verse ends in age abiding as his faithfulness. Like the little girl who's doubting, well, wait a minute, would he really get me a car? Well, I don't like to think about the little girl who had the, but it was the niece or the cousin. Could this really be true? Because I don't want to get my heart open about this trust thing. Because it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But then she started reading and doing her own research. And other people say, you're looking at fairy tales. Nobody leaves the ghetto. Maybe for a little bit. Maybe for a professional or a super athlete. But you're always coming back that you're never leaving the trailer park. But this girl, she did. And she read and she looked. And when she went to the bank, she got cleaned up. And she made sure she had identification. And she sought it out. And then she said, what kind of man would give a girl from the trailer park a car for just doing what I should be doing anyways? She didn't have straight A's, by the way. But guess what happened when she found out what she could get? She got those straight A's. She got a new car. And when she pulls it into the trailer park, everybody looked and watched, and they had their, well, what happened to her? She won the lottery. And then she goes, I'm accessing his chesed. I'm accessing this thing, and he is obligated. This grandfather, he doesn't even know my name. He doesn't even know what I look like. But here's my name. Here's my birth certificate. Here's my mom's name. Here's hers, and I got it. And that with that woman with her testimony, who ended up going to college, getting incredible grades, and setting, and everybody had so many excuses for her. Oh, she got so lucky, or she did this, or it was blackmail, or something like that. People, haters gonna hate. They're always gonna hate. But she broke her way out. But the point of her testimony was, who was this man? She never got to meet that guy. But when she went to college and became a professor, and she started teaching people about law and rule and accessing things and how powerful it is, legal documents. She gave her testimony. People wanted to hear this. Did she really come from there? And she gave that testimony, and the question mark hung. Who wrote this trust for this girl to access such power? Yahweh has done the same thing for you and for me. Turn to Luke chapter, turn to 1 Kings 3:3, and then we got one verse after that, and we'll wrap it up. And you can imagine if that grandfather was watching that little girl study, watching her get her grades up. If he got to watch those things, do you think he would have been blessed?
Yeah.
To get to see her overcoming, to get to see her crying asleep at night, and nobody believed in her. When she went to her teacher begging for help for extra credit, when she's begging for help in here, if he could have saw those things, what would have happened to his heart? It would have melted. Somebody's actually seeking who? The grandfather. The relative. He would have loved it. Yahweh is living and breathing with his son at his right hand. And if you don't believe Yahweh has said his faithfulness, look where his son is. Seated above everything. Just like he did Joseph. Joseph was faithful. What did Joseph ever do wrong? Nothing in the records, Your Honor, shows he did anything wrong. And look where he ended up. You can write a story just like that. Somebody read 1 Kings 3:3.
Solomon loved Yahweh by walking in the statutes of David, his father.
Just stop right there. How did he love Yahweh? You cannot love Yahweh if you don't know his word. And if you don't have an accurate translation, or if accurate translations aren't important to you, he's watching. Close is good enough. I got to do a personality test with somebody who I've been mentoring, who's known me for a long time, who's saved, whether they're a believer or not, questionable. And I encourage them to do a personality test. Because you have to understand your flaws and your strengths and your weaknesses to understand what most people, they don't even know what they're looking for. How can you help somebody love you as a candidate to be your husband if you don't even know what you're looking for? So you have to at least get organized and know what you're not looking for. Because what happens is you date somebody, they're doing this wrong, they're doing that wrong. So I was giving this pep talk. So I offered to do the personality test too. They didn't want to do the one I wanted to do. Because it costs money. I thought you want a husband. You want to spend $20? So we did their free one. And I did it. Okay, it's free. How good could it be? It's free, right? Got done with doing it. And I'm like, okay, so now let's get to the point and try to help her out. And she said, did you read the story about romance? I don't remember what my answer is, to be honest with you. But I don't think I read it. I gleaned because I wanted to help her. And she said, this thing nailed you. Because you're very romantic and you want these stories. And she started describing things about me I didn't even know. What did that do to me? And she bore witness. This is you. I didn't know this person knew hardly anything about me. What does that do for Yahweh when you start seeking him out? Going, this is you. This is you right here. And Yahweh's watching. And here's Solomon. You can't love Yahweh without knowing his word. And if you don't know his word, you got a poor translation. You want to access some of the stuff that's in there? He's watching. Start seeking his rule first, and you'll start unlocking keys. Is the purpose of your Christian life to blend in with people? Or is it to run your race in a way in which to win? Because your princely leader in Hebrews 12 did not look to his brothers and his sisters or to the prophets or anybody that was around him. He ran his race in a way in which to win, didn't he? And that's why he's our example. Turn to Luke chapter 13, verse 15. I think it's 15:15. Poor handwriting. And so most of this teaching is really a teaching to myself. Because all of us have a vacancy in our life or something that's missing that we want. And we tell ourselves, as soon as I get this, well, then I'll be complete. It could be healing. It could be companionship. It could be finances. It could be deliverance. I don't know what it is, but all of us have something. Once I get this, then it's just, that was me. And I was reading Yahweh's word and giving him songs. And a lot of times I got plenty of stuff to do. I was being obedient. And he goes, you're still missing it, Aaron. It's good for you to want rewards, but the rewards are not the reward. There is the reward. It's fulfilling your calling in Christ, which, and the reward is not fulfilling your calling in Christ, it's pursuing Yahweh in that relationship, and that's how you're going to fulfill it. If somebody would revert 15, verse 15, let me see here.
15?
Let me see here.
Or
13. Well, actually, we'll do verse 8.
15?
Yeah, 15 verse 8. Or what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek carefully until she find it? And having found it, she called together her female friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, because I have found the piece of silver which was lost. And that's not necessarily the context of the teaching, but what Yahweh is communicating to me, he's going, Aaron, you have to understand that I am the treasure. David's treasure, he had gold. He had all these other things, but that's not the treasure. The treasure that David had was me. And if you have me, you are wealthier than you could ever imagine.
Yeah.
You got to tell yourself that. I don't feel like it. That's because you're losing a race. Your dirtbag brain, the sins of Adam, is running things. You got to speak it. You got to believe it. You got to confess it. Are you rich? Yes. And what I end up doing that night is confessing, force myself, saying, I don't have time for a wife. Seriously. I only got time for you. I teach your word. I get up in the morning. I have 2 hours of devotion for just me and you. And what I do is I force myself. Instead of going, oh, I need this, I need this, I need this. No, I don't have. I only got time for you. To reverse those things. Yahweh is the reward. The box is not the reward. It's the contents in the box. And it's not the contents that's in the box. It's the introduction to the writer of the trust documents that he gives to you and to me. And you can look at this. I like boxes. I love Hobby Lobby for stuff like this. You can imagine some people, if I give this to you, be like, that's kind of neat. I use this for my jewelry, so it's not a mess. Somebody goes, what is this? Well, let's just say it's 2,000 years old. Wow, look at this. I got this from Israel. Really? Wow. What's in it? Nothing. It's a piece of paper. That's it. What is this? Telios Ministries invited me to a city that has no need of a sun nor the moon. What is that? And to most people, you know what this is? This is your free university to the creator of the universe. You have a lifetime of free documents, Bibles, access. And through the knowledge, Yahweh knows you need encouragement, like David killing Goliath. He needed encouragement. He gives you access to his ascent and to his trust. That he'll meet all your needs if you're doing the word. And he's watching you pursue it. Most Christians with a business card like this, box! That's for us to say, well, then you are a babe in Christ. But as me, I'm going to grow up. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for tonight. And for these words, don't get distracted by your own dreams and your own ideas. You are harassed by your own ideas that as soon as you get this answer, then you'll be complete. You are harassed by the same enemy, which is yourself. Learn to focus on me. I've given you eyes. What do they look at? They can look at the lust of the world. They can look at things, vacations, dream places. Or you can force them to look upon my scriptures. What does your brain, I've given you a brain, what is it focused on? Does it wander about foreign places and things or reconciliations or healing? Or does it focus on me? Choose to use the stuff that I've given to you to serve me, and I will give you all of this. Amen. Hallelujah.